This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, we got a fun hour coming up. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. The good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll dive into a segment that I do every year around this time, which is this date in Super Bowl history, because I think the Super Bowl, of all the things that go on in our society, I mean, from entertainment, sports, politics, the Super Bowl is just my favorite event. It's just something I love. I've loved it since I was a kid. I like the history of it. I like the importance of it. I like the unity of it in terms of, you know, 150 million, 125 million people watching this thing. I like the global nature of it, even though it's our sport, how it, you can watch it, NFL films, and see, hear broadcasts from around the world of the Super Bowls. I think that if you're an NFL player, your legacy is cemented in this game. It is very hard to process your career if you haven't gone to this game. I mean, you can with some, but most of the time we want you in this game. We want you at least participating. We don't necessarily need you to win it, but we need you to go to it in order to sort of talk about your legacy. And I think some of the great moments in sports history have happened in the Super Bowl. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Pat Donovan, though, is going to join us, WDAE in Tampa, because lost in all this hoopla about the Buccaneers is almost forgotten that the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup this year, and the Tampa Bay Rays competed in the World Series losing to the Dodgers. It has been a phenomenal 6 months in Tampa Bay sports history, with all three of their teams participating in the championship, getting the Stanley Cup in an American League pennant. And now the NFC Championship Buccaneers are going to be playing in the Super Bowl at home. I mean, look, of all the success Boston has had, this is the Tampa Bay sports year right now. And it's funny because I wonder, and we'll talk to Pat Donovan about this, how much in the COVID processing preseason analysis, how much of it was thought about this could take place. Now, the Lightning were already close to the postseason when we shut down. But remember, baseball was like, we're not even having spring training, or we'll just have it for a couple of weeks. We don't even know how many games we're playing. We're fighting about that. And then we got a 60-game schedule where if you kind of stink out of the gate and haven't figured your team out, you might be out of the running. Tampa Bay Rays get to the World Series, and now the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. So Pat Donovan will join us. But coming up next, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It's Hour 2 of Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb for your Tuesday. Let's get things started with the good of the day.
All right, bear with me here, but there are two new shows that are on the horizon that will be okay. Coming to a streaming service near you.
Got it.
And I'm kind of excited about both of them. That's why I'm putting them in the good of the day. Whether you agree with me or not, that's you.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, the first one is a show titled Monsters at Work. Now, I know this is a cartoon. It's based off of Monsters Incorporated. And it's set 6 months after the original film that took place 20 years ago.
Right.
It's set 6 months after that with, you know, and it's just going to be a series. It's not a movie. It's a series.
We're using laughter now.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
But it is reprising, or not reprising, but Billy Crystal and John Goodman are coming back to reprise their roles. And they've already started filming. And it's supposed to
really?
Come out. Yeah, it's supposed to come out in September. But no official date has been released yet.
You know, John Goodman is one of America's greatest actors.
Yes. Although, have you seen The Conners?
He works a lot.
Have you seen The Conners?
Oh, I have not.
I have an issue.
Is he mailing it in?
No. He's still really good. Okay. He's still really, really good. I mean, him playing that role is you know, it's becoming iconic. There's one main issue I have with it. He is way too skinny.
Oh, he's lost weight?
He has lost a ton of weight.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And
sometimes we don't like that with portly actors.
I kind of like the portly Dan Connor.
Yeah, that's right.
And seeing him now, I mean, it just good for him.
Oh, sure. You know, we don't want him to die of obesity.
No, he was overweight for many, many years. You know, inspiring should be the word used. But at the same time, I'm watching it, and it's like, I'm just not, I'm not, I'm not liking this. My wife felt the same way. She's like, yeah, it's just, it's not the same. We kind of like him as a portly man.
If you're a fan of Danny McBride and his comedy, The Righteous Gemstones on HBO, he plays a fatherly evangelical preacher. He's very, very good in that.
Is he skinny in that one?
No.
All right.
So, but he will be in season two, I guess, whenever they film that. So what's the second show?
The second one I thought maybe you would enjoy as well. Coming to HBO Max. No timeline given on this one either. It's just in the works. It's in the talking stage.
Right.
But they're coming, they're more than likely coming out with a Harry Potter series.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Is that true? Really? That's awesome.
I don't know.
How are they doing that?
I don't know what timeline they're basing it off of or when, you know, what the show. There's very few details about it out right now, but I think they've seen the success of, you know, what Mandalorian brought. So Disney was able to create a series. You know, now we have Marvel creating a series, and Harry Potter's wanting to get into the game as well.
That's pretty cool. I do worry, though, and it's just, it's not a worry, like, I'm worried, like, it's not a big worry, but we're not, or we're original with old content. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I need some, where's the new stuff? Where is the brand new stuff? Like, here's a new world with new people and new conflicts and new issues. And, you know, it feels like everything is always like, hey, did you dig this when you were a kid? Now we're doing this for you. Did you dig that when you were a teenager? Now we're doing this for you. Like, where's the new stuff? Like, the Harry Potter series sounds great. I mean, if it is true, I don't know where they're putting it. You know, is we're already doing the Fantastic Beast stuff before.
Right.
There was a Broadway play showing them as adults. So is there something in the middle? I mean, I guess that would be kind of neat, I guess.
I guess, you know, I mean, if it's done right.
That, well, I mean, as long the as they're thing. Doing it, I guess as long as maybe it's set in that world, but like Mandalorian, it's set in that world, but it's a whole different storyline with a whole different amount of people.
I love the wizard stuff. I love, you know, guys waving wands around. I you know, it's always fun, entertaining. I mean, Fantastic Beasts sometimes gets a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, the storyline's a little hard to follow. They cleaned it up a little bit in the last one, but it was, you know, that first one was really hard to follow.
Yeah. It's not my favorite series, but I watch it when it's out.
But I like what Mandalorian did, which is just, we're just taking characters and, you know, we're setting it in that time frame, that era.
Yeah.
Or that galaxy, I should say.
Right. So, yeah, that sounds very interesting. I kind of like those.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
To see.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, for the first time in 37 years, Budweiser will not be running an in-game ad during the Super Bowl.
I saw this and I thought it was a joke. I was like, really? They just aren't doing it, huh?
Instead, they're focusing that money that they put into marketing towards the pandemic, COVID
vaccine. they're giving money for vaccines.
Yeah, they are having.
That's good.
They are going to have an ad streaming, telling, you know, people to go and get tested. Guess they're donating the money to Ad Council and COVID Collaboratives Vaccine Education Initiative.
I gotta think so. Budweiser has had record profits in 2020.
I would think so too, right?
Right, with the quarantine, it's like people are like, give me 7 cases of that, right? Good for them. That's good. But, but 37 years, give us something. Because they've had some of the more fun and some of the more iconic ads in Super Bowl history. I mean, they gave us Clydesdales kneeling at the Twin Towers after the destruction after 9/11. This very emotional ad. Remember that?
Yeah, there was
they gave us Bud Bowl. I remember being in high school when Bud Bowl happened. Yep. I thought this was great, fun.
Gave us the
animatronic
frogs.
Thing. They gave us the frogs.
Unfortunately, they did give us What's Up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
That one, that was fun the first time you saw it. But
and then it got
80 millionth time. You're like, okay, God, this is terrible.
Then they
terrible.
Put it with everything. They made videos. Yeah. Oh, God, it was driving me nuts.
But this is, I mean, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, it is going to be weird.
I mean, you don't think you really notice it, but you always count on every Super Bowl. It's like, all right, they're going to give us a good one. They always give us a sentimental one, and they always give us a funny one.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
and
exactly.
This year, they're giving us nothing.
That's incredible.
And unfortunately, they are joining Coke and Pepsi. Pepsi is, instead of Coke and Pepsi, I guess I've seen losses.
Who is advertising in the Super Bowl if these iconic brands have decided to pull out?
Guess GoDaddy, I'm assuming. I don't know.
Can you imagine being a sales executive for CBS Television going, hey, obviously you guys want to buy the Super Bowl, right? And like, yeah, about that. Sorry.
Or was it one of those like... You're the account manager and that you always just count on them. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, okay, Budweiser, do I put you down for 230s, 360s? What do you guys want this year?
Exactly. We want to buy that summer house, but don't worry, Super Bowl's coming. And I've got the two iconic brands ready to sign onto the dotted line.
Are they all Clark Griswold and like, you know, hey, to, you know, in order to get the deposit, you know, for them to break ground in spring, I had to put the deposit down. I didn't have enough of the checking account.
Imagine having Budweiser's account and they don't buy.
And they don't buy
the Super Bowl.
That's gotta hurt.
That's kind of sting. It's kind of sting. So, all right. So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is a fun story, Tony, that a woman stabbed her husband multiple times.
Multiple times.
Multiple
Not just
times.
Once, multiple times.
And the reason why she stabbed him was because she found a photo of her husband with a younger woman.
See, this is you got to be careful, people.
Yeah, but it turns out that the photo that she saw was a picture of the couple many, many years ago.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Was it before they met?
No. It was when they were dating.
Okay. So she saw a picture
of herself.
Of herself in a picture. So this was her.
This was her.
She thought it was somebody else?
She thought it was somebody
else. How could you not know that was you?
I don't know.
All right.
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I think I would recognize a photo of myself or my wife.
Absolutely.
Back when we were dating. In fact, I know I would because we have them up in our house and I've never once went, honey.
I know.
Who is this girl that I'm standing next to?
Yeah.
Never once has that crossed my mind to say.
I look at pictures. We have pictures of our wedding and honeymoon around the house. And I'm always like, every time I walk by the picture, I go, man, what happened to me? How in the world did I gain all of this weight in 20 plus years?
Yeah, that's not a good,
right?
That's not fun.
I was thin and, you know, slim for my wedding. And now I'm like, barely fit into my clothes.
Yep.
but even like my cousin posted a picture of me like as a teenager with like a mullet. I recognized myself immediately.
Right.
As a 15-year-old or whatever the heck it was.
So, I mean, unless...
I didn't go, who's that crazy kid with the weird hairdo from 1992?
The only thing I could think of was this, is that she saw the photo. Apparently, her husband probably still looks the same.
Right. She had no problems recognizing him.
No, not at all.
But she couldn't recognize herself.
She couldn't recognize herself. And instead of, I guess, talking to him about it, saying, who is this? Yeah,
I grab a knife
and start stabbing.
If you're in the hospital recovering from stab wounds and your wife comes to you and goes, yeah, funny, that was me in that picture. I would be like, three words, get a lawyer.
Yeah.
We're not doing this ever anymore.
Yep.
It's over. Well, she's obviously going to jail, right? So she's, right? She's not getting away with this.
No, I can't imagine she is.
Right? Stabbing a person.
Stabbing a person multiple times, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Multiple times. Not just once. You didn't just come at him once and, you know, and then question. This was literally,
That's nuts.
What do you say? Intent to kill?
Yeah, right. Intent to kill would probably be a good way to put that. All right. Well, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right. Coming up next, Super Bowl history on this date. Got a couple to get to. Some of you know, trip your memory banks and kind of go down memory lane. We'll also have Pat Donovan, WDAE, to not only talk about the Buccaneers preparing for the Super Bowl, the life with Tom Brady in the city, but also the city in general is becoming a title town part two, maybe stealing it a little bit from Boston. All right, that's coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking. Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle, and they'll even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, I do this every year. We go down Super Bowl memory lane around this time because it's fun, because it's cool, because most of us kind of remember the Super Bowl. It's weird. I not only remember the Super Bowls, I know where I was for pretty much every Super Bowl that I can remember going back to my youth. Like, if I really think, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was at Joe's house, or I was gathered with my high school friends at this person's house, or I watched this with my wife in our apartment, or wherever. I can remember where I was for every Super Bowl. Now, remember when Mike sent us a trivia question on Twitter, and I said, look, I love it when you send me trivia questions because I don't look up the answer. I actually like trivia, so I try to respect the game, and I don't mind being wrong. Like, a lot of hosts, they're embarrassed if they get a sports question wrong because they think they feel like they have to know everything. I don't. Like, if you ask me a Miami Dolphins question, if you say, what quarterback did this for the Dolphins, and I go, Bob Greasy, and you go, no, it's David Woodley, I have no problems going, oh, that's cool, I didn't know that. Because I like trivia. I've always liked trivia. But I do this, I have this parlor trick where I can name the Super Bowls all the way up for every one of them. And I don't know why. It's kind of stupid and it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't impress anybody. But for whatever reason, I remember all the Super Bowls. I tell you right now, I have to really think about World Series champions, and I go, oh yeah, that's right, and maybe NBA champions. But because of the pageantry of the game and the importance of the game, I pretty much know every single Super Bowl all the way through. It's kind of weird. It's like I said, it's a parlor trick, and it doesn't get anybody to buy you drinks. I've tried, and it doesn't impress anybody. I've tried that too. So on this date on January 26th, there were four Super Bowls that were played on this date. The first one was Super Bowl 20. That's between the Bears and the Patriots. Now, you Patriot fans out there, this really should have been Bears Dolphins, but the Patriots beat Miami in the squish the fish game in the AFC title game. And that could have been a better matchup because the Dolphins beat the Bears, handing the Chicago their only loss during the season. But that's not what we got. We got a 46-10 rout by the Bears. Walter Payton didn't score, but Refrigerator Perry did. And Buddy Ryan got carried off the field in that game. Remember how great of a defensive plan and how much his players loved Buddy Ryan? By the way, if you want to cry, if you're a grown man and you want to cry, watch the 30 for 30 on the Bears, on the 85 Bears. All right? Watch when the producer of the film hands Mike Singletary and Dan Hampton and a number of other players Buddy Ryan's letter to them before he died. Mike Singletary can't get through it. He starts reading it and says, I can't do this. Well, he starts crying and he turns it away. I think it was Dan Hampton went, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I can't make it. And they loved Buddy Ryan. They loved Buddy Ryan to the very, very end.
Yeah, carried him off.
They carried him off because right before the game, he told them he was leaving. He was going to be coaching the Philadelphia Eagles, and they were ticked. And they said they knew they weren't going to lose that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were like,
they were already
not
the most
losing.
dominating
right.
defense.
You were going to kill whoever is playing for the Patriots.
Patriots never had a chance.
The second one that was played on this date was in 1991 or 1992, the 91 season. That was the Redskins against the Bills. Washington won 37-24. It was the second straight loss for Buffalo. So we hadn't really got to the point of, yeah, we're kind of tired of the Bills. It was kind of like, oh man, that stinks for Buffalo. They lost back-to-back Super Bowls. But we kind of saw this before. Denver did it, and we see a couple of others. But Washington had a really good year. That was Mark Rippon's, I think, MVP season that year. They went on to win the Super Bowl. That was played at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. The next one was the Packers taking on the Patriots, and that was at the Superdome. And this is kind of an interesting Super Bowl because I always joke about this one. Do you remember that Super Bowl when Brett Favre, I think, hit Desmond Howard for a touchdown and he took off his helmet and he's running down the field?
Yes.
Brett Favre in that shot looks like he's like 10.
Right? Yes.
And then it doesn't take long for Brett Favre to look like he's 90 years old. Like, you can go back and go, here's Brett Favre at the Super Bowl. Here's Brett Favre a couple years later. The age difference is like 40 years between the look that he has as a young quarterback. And then somewhere, somehow, he aged quickly. But that was a Patriots football team that was guided by Bill Parcells, that Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback. They had beaten Jacksonville in the AFC title game, and Bill Parcells left to become the coach of the Jets and actually didn't fly back with the team. And so it was a mess for the Patriots at the post-Super Bowl, but the Packers went on to win that. And I kind of thought at that time that Green Bay was going to win a couple more of those Super Bowls. They would lose the next year to Denver. But the Packers were really good, and I thought, okay, this could be like Dallas. It could be like San Francisco.
Does that almost feel like it's Green Bay's MO now?
Yeah, right?
You got this great quarterback, once-in-a-generation quarterback, Hall of Fame-caliber quarterback, and he can only produce one Super Bowl.
He can only one, and that's it. And by the way, he gets a pass. We have not – nobody criticizes Aaron Rodgers at all for only going to one Super Bowl.
No.
If for whatever reason we had to beat Eli Manning over the head to get another Super Bowl championship. We had to beat Peyton Manning to get one more. But Aaron Rodgers is like, well, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. I mean, what do you expect from the guy? It's not an easy thing
to do.
It's
not like he's had an opportunity. He's only been to four straight NFC championship games.
Exactly. Well, it's tough to win those games too. I mean, what are you asking him? I mean, exactly. And he's had great teams, like really good. Those were winnable games, even though they were on the road. And yet, for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers gets a pass, and we'll take a star quarterback with one Super Bowl and drive them into the earth. Like, you're nothing unless you win two. What's wrong with you? Better win two. I mean, John Elway, right? John Elway won one and then was like, I got to come back because, you know, they want the second one kind of thing in the history books. But Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre only each got one. The last one that was played on this date was... It was interesting because the Patriots played the Rams in Super Bowl 36, and that was played in February because of 9/11. That was played on February 3rd. And we went back to the normal schedule, which was Super Bowls were played at the end of January, January 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 27th. So this one was a return to normalcy the very following year, and it was Tampa Bay against Oakland. Now, a couple of things about this game. One, it was played at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. One, two, the Buccaneers had a fantastic defense. Warren Sapp, John Lynch, Rondé Barber, all those guys. And Brad Johnson was their quarterback, and an effective quarterback nonetheless, but he wasn't a star. He wasn't a superstar. And the Raiders were a good team. Rich Gannon was their quarterback. But John Gruden had been the coach at Oakland and got sort of semi-traded, if you will, because they had to sort of compensate Oakland for John Gruden wanting to be the coach at Tampa Bay. But he knew everything Oakland was doing. And John Lynch famously said, we knew every play before they were even going to call it. We knew that what they were doing. And the Buccaneers rolled to a 48-21 victory. Their only Super Bowl championship. And it was remember Barrett? What was the name? Barrett Robbins was the player for the Raiders that went AWOL before the game. Remember that?
Yes.
He had like bipolar or something.
Yeah,
he went to Mexico and they lost him. He was like in Tijuana. Remember they couldn't. Like, he showed up, and you know, they were like, hey, where is they lost
him.
Where have you been?
Forgot about that story.
Exactly.
Raiders.
By the way, that was the last playoff win for the Buccaneers until Tom Brady beat Washington earlier this season.
Not only that, but, I mean, if you want to take it a step further, I mean, Tom Brady now has as many postseason wins as Brad Johnson. They're tied for the team lead.
I almost feel bad for Brad Johnson because he is on that list, like with Trent Dilfer as anybody. Sometimes you can win a Super Bowl with defense and an average quarterback. Look at Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
Like he's become that quarterback poster before. You don't necessarily need a star quarterback to win a championship. Like Trent Dilfer won one. Brad Johnson won one. And I think Johnson is more than Dilfer. I don't know why, because Dilfer's team really won the Super Bowl on defense. I mean, that Ravens team that won Super Bowl 35 was one of the best defensive units in the history of the league.
Yes.
And their offense was abysmal. I mean, Dilfer took over that job late. There was a period of time during the season where they didn't score an offensive touchdown and yet were still winning games. Like a not just one game, like a period of games where they were getting field goals and like defensive scores. And Dilfer took over late in the season. I think Elvis Gerbach started the season as their quarterback, and then Anthony Wright took over, and it was like they went through a bunch of quarterbacks, and Dilfer was the last man standing. But Brad Johnson really is you can have a game manager, never non-stellar quarterback, as long as your defense is just rolling over people, you can win a Super Bowl like the Buccaneers did. So those are the four Super Bowls that were played on this date. Speaking of Tampa and Tampa Bay Bucks, Pat Donovan, our good friend from WDAE's Titletown USA, gets another championship to watch. That's next. Wake up call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's another championship appearance for a team from Tampa. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Pat Donovan, our good friend from WDAE. How are you, my friend?
We are doing fantastic here
in
Tampa, and I am as well. Thank you very much.
I got to think this is like Christmas, where you wake up as a kid and there's presents under the tree, and then like relatives come like a few days later during the holiday, and they just keep bringing more gifts. Like, it's got to be like another championship for the city. Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, I grew up, my parents got divorced at a very young age, right? So then you get like the two Christmases.
Right.
And you get the Christmas on one side of the family and then the Christmas on the other side of the family. And now it's like I developed a third family. I mean, every time I turn around, the last 5 months, somebody here is winning our station, just won station of the year. Like, I don't, even the, everybody keeps reminding me the Rowdies, our soccer team down here. They went, they're like, I'm not a soccer guy, so I don't really care, to be honest with you, but they did their thing as well.
So let's go back a little bit here, because I kind of want to talk about the Buccaneers, but also the city in general and these sports championships. So, again, COVID sort of affected different things, but the Lightning were almost to the playoffs when things got shut down. The Rays and Major League Baseball had this very complicated, how are we going to get started? What is spring training going to look like? How is a season going to be done? And then the Buccaneers get Tom Brady. Of all the championships or championship potential now with the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, which one or which ride has been the most surprising?
Ooh, surprising. I thought you were going to say fun or gratifying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can answer that, too.
Surprising. Yeah, surprising is very interesting, because I think we had high expectations for all three of these teams, right? I don't think it's the Lightning, because they should have been there last year. The Rays, I think, you know, especially because of the shortened season, the way some of their arms were coming off of injuries and stuff, it just kind of set up very well for the Rays. But when it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, listen, it's Tom Brady, and I thought they were going to be good, and I'm not about to bet against Tom Brady very often, but I looked coming into the season, and I said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not only are they not the class of the NFC, they're not even the class of the NFC South. Yeah. I thought the New Orleans Saints were the best team in the division, and it played out that way during the regular season, but the best teams win the most important games, and the Bucs have done that. So we've found out that they are the class of the NFC. But that, to me, probably the biggest surprise of all three teams.
All right, so then which one has been the most fun ride?
That I would also give to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As much fun as the Lightning winning the Cup was, and that, you know, parade that they did on the river and coming to Raymond James Stadium with the cup. I mean, I hate to take away from the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, but, you know, Florida has always been a football state. I, to be honest, have always been a football guy. And when you just think about this franchise and this fan base, right? I've said this, I don't know how many times in the last month. Some people have probably heard me say it five times and want to slap me already. But this isn't just the team with the worst winning percentage in the history of the NFL. This is the team with the worst winning percentage in pro sports, right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady already accounts for more than a quarter of their playoff victories this season. He already owns all their playoff records when it comes to throwing the football. I mean, it's insane that, like, you know, the lack of success here outside of that one great run, you know, in the early 2000s. Outside of that, this is a franchise that just hasn't seen a lot of winning, a fan base that hasn't seen a lot of winning. So to see them experience a Super Bowl run, because I wasn't here in 2002, 2003 when they last did, it's been a lot of fun.
The Super Bowl obviously being a neutral site, but it is a home game for the Buccaneers. And we were kind of talking about this with COVID. The last professional team in America to host a championship game was the 2019 Astros. And the two cities that did not get a chance to experience that is Tampa and Los Angeles with the basketball and the baseball. Is it going to feel different? Do you think it's going to have a hometown flavor, or is it going to be, look, because it's not we don't have a full stadium of Buccaneers fans. How will Tampa be like, or at least anticipate it be like, to have the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers in it in that stadium?
Yeah, I think there's just going to be a lot more partying around the city because people can't get into the stadium. But I think even though we'll be, you know, whether we're at bars, whether we're at our homes, whatever it is, we will, you know, turn on the television and see Raymond James Stadium. They're not gonna fire the cannons when the Bucs get in the red zone or when they score a touchdown. I believe the NFL is going to use the cannons, but obviously try to do it in as neutral a way as humanly possible because it's supposed to be a neutral site. But I think for Bucs fans watching the game on TV, they're still going to know that's Raymond James Stadium. They're still from time to time going to see that pirate ship. And there's something that it will feel different, even though not many Bucs fans will be able to make their way into the stadium. I mean, there's only 14,000, I believe, general admission tickets, right? Outside of the tickets they're giving away to, you know, to vaccinated healthcare workers. You know, there's only another like 14,000. And then if you look at the prices, the average human being, just can't even consider it, right? I know I couldn't. If I had to pay my way into the building, I couldn't do it. There's no way. I mean, you're talking upwards of $10,000 a ticket. It's just insane. So there won't be a lot of Buccaneer fans. There won't be a lot of fans in general in the building, but it will definitely feel like a Tampa Bay game because you'll be able to tell that it is Raymond James Stadium.
I think a lot of conversation around Tom Brady, and rightfully so, 10 Super Bowls and doing it on a new team in this season. But that NFC title game, I hope that Tampa Bay defense doesn't get overlooked for what they did in that game against the Packers. Your thoughts on their performance in Green Bay when the interceptions were bringing the Packers back in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane that Tom Brady really almost lost that football game for this team, and as much credit as we'll give him, because listen, the Bucs aren't in this situation without Tom Brady, right? As much credit as we'll give him for the season and for the run, and he did. He almost blew it in the NFC Championship game. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't know if Tom Brady's ever had three consecutive possessions and in an interception. And as that kept happening, I was sitting here watching it and just baffled by what was going on. But that defense, you're right, they continued to make big play after big play to seal that football game, because it was every single time that every single time that Tom Brady threw an interception, it was the ghost of Jameis Winston somehow,
right?
Possessed Tom Brady in that game. And every time he threw that interception, that team forced a three and out to, you know, an offense that had been doing some good things. So, yeah, you're right. They saved that football game.
Byron Leftwich is all of a sudden, you know, obviously teams more progress, we get a little bit more of a spotlight on assistant coaches. Byron Leftwich, give us an idea of his offensive mindset and his stock rising in this league.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think he's a coach whose stock should be rising. But also, you know, I would have to interview him as an owner, right, or as a GM to decide whether or not I think he's ready to be a head coach. From what I've seen from him as a coordinator, I think probably a good idea for him to remain as a coordinator and under a head coach like Bruce Arians for another year or two, because there were times, you know, this season, despite the offensive output, despite the weapons, there were times this season when the offense was a little bit predictable. And it wasn't until after the bye week, and I have a, you know, strong suspicion that Tom Brady played a large role in the reshaping of the offense during the bye week, that sometimes this offense would become a little bit stagnant. And at times, I believe it was because of Byron Leftwich's play calling. So I think he's a very good coach. And I think he's a guy that we will, without question, at some point see become a head coach. But I think he's, you know, I think he could take a little more seasoning as a coordinator and as a guy who, you know, is still learning to become a good head coach in this league. And he's doing it from a guy that's a two-time coach of the year and now going into his first Super Bowl as a head coach. So he's in a good spot.
If you were just statistically basing what Brady brought to the table, you still couldn't make the argument that if Jameis Winston had thrown just a few less interceptions, a whole bunch of less interceptions, that they'd be in the Super Bowl. What are the things that Brady brought to Mike Evans, to Chris Godwin, to the offense in general, that are just beyond the statistical analysis of his performance?
Yeah, and honestly, I almost hate bringing Jameis into this conversation, because as much as I joked about the ghost of Jameis Winston because he threw all those interceptions, the reality is I think the kid's a good leader and can become a very good quarterback in this league. And I truly believe, had Jameis Winston been the quarterback, year two in this Bruce Arians offense would have been a very good one for him. I think Jameis would have had a fantastic season. That said, Tom Brady's just a different kind of leader, a different kind of human being, and not than Jameis Winston, right? And that's why I hate bringing Jameis into the conversation. Then literally everyone, right? I mean, you just hear about how unique this guy is, and we heard it in New England, and now we're seeing it right here, and it's just different, you know? And he seems to know how to connect with guys in a way that, you know, we see that fiery guy on game day that will get right in a guy's ass and chew him out if he needs to. But they also respect him because they see both sides of it. You know, and I remember it started very early on when Ryan Jensen tweeted out the image of Tom Brady and he discussing how to place the towel to, you know, the butt sweat mitigation, you know, conversation very early on. Not every quarterback can come in and teach, you know, a center how to handle his own butt sweat. I mean, the guy's just that impressive.
Pat, you're the best. I really appreciate it. Enjoy this. The next 2 weeks is going to be a lot of fun.
It really is, man. You got it. Anytime, brother.
You got it. You too. Pat Donovan, yeah, one of our favorite guests, WDAE in Tampa, talking about the butt. Just the title town in general. It, you know what I feel? And Ron is in the is a fan, is in the same kind of situation, because the Lakers and the Dodgers, neither one of them got to celebrate something, or at least have some. COVID really took away that opportunity for the Staples Center to be rocking for LeBron, and Dodger Stadium to be rocking for Kershaw and the guys, right? We love that atmosphere. We love that crowd pan of the full house or the full stadium. And Los Angeles didn't get to have it with its two iconic teams. I mean, some of the best sports franchises in the history of sports. And while you wouldn't put the Rays and you wouldn't put the Lightning on that list, they didn't get it either. Like, they didn't get an opportunity to have their ice arena filled with people, or is Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg loaded for a World Series championship. It was taken away. This is not going to be that either. It's not going to be filled with Buccaneers fans. And even in a COVID-less environment, it still wouldn't have been that, right? As much as it's cool to say a team is playing at its home stadium, I think Pat hit it on the head. It's going to, they're going to look up and see the pirate ship. They might even be in the same locker room that they were in during the whole season. There's a familiarity of getting to the stadium. There's a familiarity of the building as itself. But the Super Bowl isn't designed to have a home field advantage, even if you're playing in your home stadium. It is designed to be filled with, they have this many season ticket holders, they have this many season ticket holders, the corporate America gets this many tickets, the general public gets this many tickets, whatever. And it's not, it doesn't lend itself to that same environment of a sold-out Dodger Stadium or a sold-out Staples Center where people are outside screaming their heads off. You know, we saw it in Toronto where people just gathered outside the arena, couldn't get in, but there was thousands and thousands outside watching it on big screens. It's not really the Super Bowl. It's not, that's not what it is, but it is still a home game for Tampa in all the other aspects, right? Being able to be around your city, around your environment as much as you can before the game, before game time. And again, because COVID has done that to both Los Angeles and Tampa, it's at least a little saving grace that the Buccaneers get to play in their home stadium. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Real quick, one NBA note. LeBron James pretty much demolished Cleveland last night. This is funny because We just got done a couple of months ago watching The Last Dance, where Michael Jordan was like, oh, and then the pizza guy disrespected me, so I had to score 50 on him. And then the equipment manager kind of smirked at me the wrong way, so I had to put 50 on their team. LeBron missed a shot last night in the third quarter, and an executive from the Cavs was clapping a little too much last night.
Yeah.
So LeBron scored 21 of his 46 points in the fourth quarter.
Oops.
So is LeBron channeling his inner Michael Jordan going, I gotta find somebody.
Yeah,
somebody in this building better disrespect me so I can explode for some points here.
That's the issue, right? Now is he going to be actively looking for someone?
Right. Every game now he's going to be like, well, the popcorn guy didn't even see me hit that jumper, so I had to put 30 on him in the last 3 minutes of the game. He said afterwards, I felt like he was a little bit too excited about seeing me miss.
If I'm a teammate, I'm making stories up now.
I'm totally doing it, right?
Doesn't matter which team it is. Hey, did you know so-and-so said this about your mom? Wait, what?
Yeah, what? Exactly.
What was that? It's like Fast Times. Ridgemont High?
Yeah.
Remember they said that when they destroyed the car? They're like, oh,
that's right.
It was the rival high school
did it. Forrest Whitaker. That's right. This is hilarious. Seriously. He thought the guy was clapping a little too hard.
Yeah.
So he scored 21 in the fourth quarter. LeBron, don't ever change, man. Just keep copying Michael in every way possible.
Every way.
Every way possible. I can't wait for his documentary to come out so this story is revisited. All right, the Jake Asman Show is coming up next. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.